notice that our hymnal is organized by the seasons of the year. So every hymn number is going to be getting bigger because it truly, the hymn is organized around this same schedule. So after we await the coming of Jesus, we celebrate Christmas. And we'll be singing Silent Night. The priest of a parish in Austria wrote the words to this on Christmas Eve, December 24th in 1818 for St. Nicholas's Church. How perfect is that? Because the church organ broke down that same day on the 24th. So Joseph and his organist, Franz Gruber, composed this beloved hymn to be accompanied by guitar on Christmas Eve because they had no organ. After the organ repairman heard this hymn, he took it to the Tyrol region in Austria, where it was sung by various folk groups and just became known as the Tyrolean Carol. This hymn is the only hymn of his to be translated into English. Though most hymnals still print the German as well, I learned to sing it in German when I was in grade school, not even a Christian school, but that was just part of what you learned at Christmas time was to sing Silent Night in German. Although the feeling of this hymn is one that is soft and mellow, notice that the words speak of the power and the majesty of the birth of Jesus. We'll sing verses 2 and 3. So the season of Christmas, so Christmas for Christians is not just a day, it's a season, and you all know how long the season is, right? How many days of Christmas? How many days of Christmas? There's a whole song about 12. Well, we're not going to sing the 12 days of Christmas, but 12 days of Christmas. So counting 12 days after Christmas brings us to January 6th. And this is the Feast of the Epiphany, which is when we celebrate the wise men who make their way to the manger. Because in the Bible, the three wise men don't come when he's born. They come actually a couple years later. But so we don't sing those hymns typically until we get to January 6th, which is Epiphany, which again is a season, not just a day. We will sing only verse 1 of We Three Kings. It was written by John Henry Hopkins in 1857. He was from Pittsburgh, and then went to the University of Vermont at Burlington. He became a reporter in New York City while he was studying law. He returned to Vermont for his master's degree, and then he went back to New York City for seminary and became ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Church. He served as the first professor in church music at the seminary, and then he became rector of a parish out in Plattsburgh, New York. He wrote a number of hymns, but this is his. He was a one-hit wonder. This is the only one that became popular. We Three Kings will sing verse 1. After the season of Epiphany, which changes because it depends on when the next season starts, the season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. And Lent is the season of 40 days plus Sundays, so technically 46 days before Easter. And this is the season when we start focusing on Jesus' death. Isaac Watts wrote the words of the hymn we will sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When he was a boy, he was complaining to his father about the horrible hymns that they sing in church. And his father, who was the pastor of the church, came back with, "Well, I'd like to see you write something better." Well, legend has it that Isaac went to his room and appeared several hours later with his first hymn, which they sang at worship that night, which was well received. And then he went on to write more than 600 hymns. The tune that we will sing it to was written by Lowell Mason, who's a local guy. He was born in Medfield, Mass, and he was the music director at four different churches in Boston, while also serving as a bank teller. He was also the president and the conductor of the Handel and Haydn Society, and he founded the Boston Academy of Music. The tune that we sing this to is based on a Gregorian chant and is very simple. It's only five notes from F to B flat. Can you play those up? Four notes? Is that all we get? We only get four notes. The reason it's got, you know, this tune that is so small is so that we can really focus on the words. The intent was that the tune would be so simple that you could have your mind focused on the words more. This hymn was originally intended as a communion hymn, but it became popular during the Lenten season because of its focus on the cross of Christ. And I think the most powerful image in this hymn is the brilliant juxtaposition that you'll find in verse 3. "Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" We'll just sing that verse. That's verse 3, so not verse 1. Let's only sing verse 3 of "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Thank you.
On Easter, we sing Christ the Lord is risen today. The words to this hymn were written by Charles Wesley. He was the 6,500 hymns guy. And he originally composed this hymn for Easter Day to have 11 verses in it. The Alleluias were added later by editors to fit the tune that was matched to his poem. And this hymn contains so many Easter themes. We get all creatures rejoicing in Christ's resurrection. The work of redemption is complete. Death is vanquished. We now have new life in Christ. And we praise the victorious Christ. Each of the verses lift up all these great themes. And then the Alleluias that we sing after every verse remind us of that ancient Easter greeting. We say it on Easter Sunday, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, Alleluia. We tack Alleluias on everywhere and provides a good framework for praising God with each line of the hymn. So we cannot sing this one seated. So we will rise as able and we'll sing verses 1 and 4. Seated. So Easter for us is again a season and not a day. And after Jesus has been raised from the dead, he spends a few weeks appearing on earth to his disciples and others. But he doesn't stay on earth, right? If he'd stayed on earth, he'd have to be somewhere still now, but he doesn't stay. As a friend of mine likes to say, he had to get back to headquarters. And so he ascends back to heaven. And so the church celebrates this with Ascension Day. And this is a day, this one is a day, not a season. It's just the day when we celebrate Jesus going back to heaven. We'll sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. And both the words and the music to this were written by Englishmen in the 1800s. It made its way to America and to churches here, mainly through the Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, who was a prominent congregational minister in the 1800s. He served in Indiana, and then he served for a long time at Plymouth Church in Brooklyn, New York. The name of the tune, how do I say that, Bernard?
Dia Domata.
Dia Domata. Is derived from the Greek word for crowns. And this tune is very majestic, though some music critics have said that the harmony lacks life. I don't know. I love it. Notice, though, that the crown of thorns that we were singing about during Lent has now become the crown of a king, our Lord who sits on a heavenly throne. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of 234, Crown Him with Many Crowns. So after Jesus returns to heaven, he then sends the Holy Spirit to earth in a powerful way. Wind and something that looked like the tongues of fire dancing on people's heads. We call this event the birthday of the church, or it's called Pentecost. Penta meaning five, because it happened 50 days after Jesus was raised, after the resurrection, after Easter. This is a day and a season, and this is the longest season. Once we get to Pentecost, we now have the super long season that brings us actually to today. If you notice, it says on the front of our book, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. So this is the season of the church. The music of this hymn, we'll sing The Church's One Foundation, was composed by Samuel Sebastian Wesley, who was the grandson of Charles Wesley, the 6,500 hymns guy. And his middle name, Sebastian, was given to him because his father's lifelong admiration for the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. The words of this hymn grew out of a theological controversy in the mid-1800s. An Anglican bishop in South Africa wrote a book criticizing the Bible and questioning some of the fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith. Samuel Stone, who wrote these words, was one of the people who defended the Christian faith and published 12 hymns on the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. 1866. And then the Church's One Foundation was the hymn for what we say in the Creed when we say the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. This hymn was written to reflect that church. And so I invite you to turn to the blue insert. We will say the Apostles' Creed together before we sing verses 1 and 2 of the Church's One Foundation. So I invite you to rise and to join me as you're able. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As an offering to God this week, I invite you to think about music and the music you listen to, in particular the Christmas music you listen to, if you don't already have a Pandora station of, you might have to say, Christian Christmas music, I invite you to make one. Or however you listen, if you need to order a CD of, you know, the traditional Christian Christmas music, do that. So you are hearing the Christian story of Christmas as well. So I invite you to intentionally get yourself set up with some Christian songs this week. The ushers will come to receive our tithes and offerings. Join me in the prayer of dedication printed before you. Loving God, as we bring these our offerings, we ask you to bless them for your work and to bless us in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We shall not offer God that which costs us nothing. Amen. Please be seated.